Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us your instruction, your comfort, and everything that goes with it. Anything that we desire comes from your word. Who you are, what you're doing in our lives, and what you have done in the past to bring us to this point. Thank you, Lord, that you have not left us orphans, but that you have adopted us and brought us into your kingdom and made us a part of your family. There's so much to give thankful for, Lord. And if we sat down and counted them, it would be everything that we would do all day long, is to count the blessings that you poured out to us. So, Lord, I just want to thank you and praise you and give you all of the glory that things that happen in our lives. For you have made these things happen. We haven't done them. We've just followed your lead. And if by our frail attempts to please you, Lord, we know that you have guided us and that we are blessed and that you are blessed. So, Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, just take control of our hearts and our minds, that we would think only thoughts that come from your word, that we would not try to make things up on our own to make ourselves feel any better. Because, Lord, we are guilty before you. We know this. But you have taken away our sin. As we are in the family of God, you've taken away those things that separate us, that drive us away from you. We need not hide ourselves as Adam and Eve did in the garden. We can come to you boldly and just pour out our hearts to you. Oh, Lord, we ask that you would have your way with us. We pray that the word that goes forth today would have its place in our hearts, that we would just bury it there and allow your spirit to bring it forth in a time of need. So, Lord, thank you. I love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in the last chapter, Paul just told the Jews that having the law doesn't necessarily justify a person. In fact, it doesn't justify a person at all. Just having the word. I know there's many people that probably have maybe 10 or 15 Bibles laying around. I know I got 5 or 6 of them just laying around that I haven't touched in years. And just having the word doesn't do us any good. Now, I do read, although it's electronic now, so don't get panicked here. You know, I didn't go up on pastor.com or desperatepastor.com and pull down this message here. So, the idea is that we need to be in the Word. We need to hear what the Lord is saying to us. And we have to believe that this is the Word of God. See, there's a threefold scenario that goes on here. First, we have to know that God wants to speak to us. We know this because of what Jesus has done. He died on the cross for us. And also, you know, that He wants to guide us and direct us in His ways. That's His delight. I know that's kind of hard for some of us to, you know, understand or even grab hold of, but that's His whole plan and purpose, is to grab hold of us, is to let us walk in His ways. So it's not the whole idea of having the law. It's the doing of the law, as we read in James. Be ye doers of the word, and not just hearers only. Now, circumcision is really of no value, as Paul was saying in the last chapter. If you're circumcised, so what? It doesn't matter. If you're not walking in the way of the Lord, it doesn't profit you anything. Having the law, but not reading it, it avails you nothing. When the rabbis would come and teach in the synagogues and things like that, what they would do is they would take out the book, they would take out the Torah, and they had this little, you know, poker thing so that the oil on their hands wouldn't go on the paper there, and they would read along, and they would read the Word of God, which is good. But when they go to expound, they would go to their traditions. As Jesus laid out for them, you violate the law of God because of your traditions. You follow the traditions rather than what the law says. Now, I get it. When I was younger, I thought, you know, how can I, you know, being a layman, understand the things that God, how can I know that I'm right in the things that I interpret? Well, that's where it comes in, to where we constantly do these things and the Holy Spirit affirms these things in our hearts. That's why memory verses is so important. That's what Paul did. He memorized these scriptures. You know, as we're going to go through this, we're going to see he's able to just whip out all the different aspects of Isaiah and the Psalms and the law, and he's going to be able to put them in a proper perspective. And he knows that he's, you know, he's interpreting correctly because of the Holy Spirit that's in him. So we need to have the Holy Spirit constantly poured out on us. Ask and you shall receive. Ask for the Lord to give you the Holy Spirit. We are in desperate need of the power to be able to do this. So, circumcision had no value. It's the circumcision of the heart. Physical circumcision meant nothing. Spiritual circumcision, or that manner of circumcising of the heart, is what the Lord's looking for. Okay? Circumcision of the heart. In other words, I want to divest myself of the life that I've been living, the fleshly desires that I've been going after. I don't want that stuff anymore. I want to know what God wants. And that's a work of the Holy Spirit. Those desires, you know, he says, you know, acknowledge him in all your ways, the scripture tells us, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You see, sometimes we think, well, you know, I went to church today and I got home and I read a couple of verses out of the scripture there. I'm feeling pretty holy, you know. So I'm thinking, yeah, the Lord's really, you know, he's really working on me. And so whatever it is down there, then, hey, yeah, okay, I'm feeling, you know, holy and that kind of a thing. But the idea is that, you know, it's the Holy Spirit that does it. Invite the Holy Spirit to give you the ability to be able to do the things that are written in the law. So therefore, if a person is really walking after the Spirit, though he may not have the physical rite of circumcision, Gentiles, okay, still God counts that as his, you know, as circumcision of his heart. If circumcision doesn't really do anything for me, if having the law doesn't do anything for me as far as, you know, a righteous standing before God, then the question would naturally arise, and Paul brings it up in verse 1. He says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Now, if we just hurry through and we just read these things like we're, you know, reading the daily newspaper or whatever, we miss this entirely. Meditating on the Word of God is essential. And so I'm going to bring out the reasons why Paul's taking his time. It's not like he just read this off and that was it. But he says, what advantage has the Jew? What advantage does the Jew have? Or what profit is there in circumcision? He's getting bombarded by all these proselytes. They're coming in and they're saying, hey, you know what? You need to be circumcised. You need to become a Jew before you can become a Christian. And Paul's just kind of like, you know, this just doesn't sound right. Okay? We as Jews, we went through 2,000 years of reading the law, and yet it didn't do us any good. We still crucified the Lord when he came. So the study of the Word is, if it's not coupled with the filling of the Spirit, we're going to be way off base. So Paul is just kind of going on, what advantage has the Jew? And so the first question pertains to what Paul says in Romans 2, 17 through 24. I'll let you look that up in your leisure. And the second question to what he says in Romans 2, 25 through 29. So, you see he's playing off of what he's already covered. Okay, and so he's building upon those building blocks. God gave the law to Moses. To the natural man, however, these were just a list of rules and regulations for man to follow. Okay, thou shalt not, oh jeez, come on, you know, I mean, I haven't been able to do these things, I can't do these things, what's the point of all of this? And you get frustrated really fast. When you want to please God and all of a sudden, okay, well, lying, yeah, I did that already today. You know, I mean, adultery, yeah, probably. Stealing, yeah, uh-huh. And all of these things then start to weigh on you. How can I do the things that I want to do, as Paul would tell us later in Romans chapter 7. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? And so we just kind of go, man, I can't do it. And at the end of that chapter, he says, but Jesus Christ has done it all. Now, the natural man, again, is just a list of rules and regulations to follow, but the spiritual man sees it in a different light. they see the spiritual man looks at the law and says, this is what God looks like. He doesn't do these things. And so therefore, I don't want to do these things. We align our will with His will. Okay, this is what God is. This is what I want to be. Now, I can't do it by the works of the law or the works of my flesh, obviously. It has to be done by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to come in and take control of me and do those things. Caveat, we have to let Him. Okay? Especially when the desires of the flesh start to rise up. They are so powerful because we're so used to listening to them. We understand their voice. We know as soon as they rise and raise their voice, we know, oh yeah, I know where this is going to lead. I don't even have to think about it. This thought is going to lead me all the way to this sin. I know it. It's happened before, and I don't want it to happen again. Now, the spiritual man, or the natural man, looks at the sacrifices and despairs of the endless sacrifice that must be given. Oh man, I blew it again. I got to go take a sacrifice to the temple, you know. And it gets to be a tiresome kind of a thing, you know. It's not the joyful thing that we like to do as far as the church people. People outside the church, you go to church every Sunday and you go on Wednesday? Are you crazy? And maybe you read the Bible during the week, but why? Why would you do that? You've got so much life to live. Life is so short. Why would you waste your life doing these things? On the other hand, we desire to do those things. I want to do these things. It gives me joy and pleasure to please the Lord. Now, the spiritual man looks at the sacrifices and sees what the Messiah is going to do when He comes. That was the purpose of the sacrifices. The substitutionary sacrifice of one, of an animal, one innocent blood, and one that was going to bring these sacrifices and get cleansed. The spiritual man sees it one way, the natural man the other. Paul has carefully explained in Romans 2 that the possession of the law or circumcision will not save the Jewish person. In this case, then, what is the advantage of being God's chosen people? Why would I care? No, I'd like to take you back to Jacob and Esau. You remember Jacob and Esau? Esau didn't care anything about the birthright. He didn't care about anything spiritual. But Jacob did. It says that Jacob was a plain man, whereas Esau was a man of the field. He was a man of the world. But just because it says he was a plain man, what he was is he was a studious man. Okay? He listened to his grandfather Abraham of all of the things that had transpired from the beginning all the way to this point. Isaac and the whole calling and the sacrifice of Isaac. He heard all of these things and something stirred within him. The Holy Spirit stirred within him and says, these things are valuable. And he wanted those things. And so, yeah. Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of stew or whatever. And we always look down, well, that was kind of dumb. He didn't desire it. So therefore, it would have afforded him nothing. Jacob wanted it. He saw an opportunity to get what it is that he desired. And then the blessing. Now, the blessing would have come whether or not there was any chicanery between Rebekah and Isaac there, you know. And we always look at that and we say, well, that's how he got it, is because he fooled his father. But if you read the scripture carefully, you're going to see that Isaac was not fooled. He knew it was Jacob. And he knew the prophecy from the beginning when Rebekah was in there and the two were struggling along in the womb. And the Lord says, you know, these are two nations. The elder shall serve the younger. Isaac knew this. And so when all of this transpired, he said, you know, he didn't get upset. He just saw God's providence come to pass. Now, there's no partiality with God, and Romans 2:11 tells us, what good is it to be Jewish? And he answers the question in verse 2. In verse 2, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. This was the reason why the Jews were chosen, because God gave them the law. He gave them the law, and they were supposed to spread it throughout, proclaim liberty to all people. But what did they do? They tucked it behind their robes and they kept it to themselves. That's not what the Lord had called them to do. I want everybody to have salvation. Okay? And so Paul knew that there are many advantages to having the Jewish people. He entrusted them with the oracles or the word of God, which speak of God's written revelation before the time of Jesus. He gave the Jewish people his word, and that is an indescribable gift. You know, I think about the people that hand out Bibles in foreign countries. When these missionaries come in with truckloads of Bibles, they're swamped. People want to have Bibles. They don't have a Bible of their own. We can go to a bookstore, pick up four or five, and we can go to Walmart and get four or five of them for all of that. They're readily available. These folks here, they get a Bible, they go to their village, and they tear up the pages, and they read them, and they study them, and they memorize them. And when they're done with that, then they pass it along to the next person. Hey, who's got John chapter 2? Anybody? Anybody? You know? And so they're so hungry for the word, and it puts the Americans to shame, because we have such an abundance, and yet we scarcely pick up a Bible to read it in our off times. I'll Candy Crush. We'll do that for a couple of hours and that kind of a thing. But I don't play Candy Crush myself. I've heard some people talk about that kind of a thing. But I'm in the Word, baby. No. or Facebook or Instagram, whatever it is, you know, that occupies your time. But you start scrolling through that stuff and you come to realize an hour has gone by. And what have I accomplished? What have I gained through this? What spiritual insight have I gotten through any of these things? Now, sometimes you'll get a scripture verse, but how often, you know, we read it and we just move on. It doesn't sink in. You see, the Word of God is to be dwelt upon. It's to be memorized. It's to be mulled over. It's supposed to be ruminated, like a cow chews its own cud. You know, it ruminates, you know, and it gets every bit of flavor, every bit of knowledge out of that scripture. So the Jewish people not only received the law, but also the procedure on getting forgiveness for breaking the law. They had it all. They had the entire package. Now, they are a very privileged people, but privilege comes with a heavy price. Satan hates the Jewish people more than any of God's creation. And we can take that all the way back to the garden when God pronounced the curse. I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. Talking about the seed of the woman. That would be the Messiah. And so ever since that time, he's tried to thwart the plan of God by killing as many Jews as he could. Okay. Fortunately, God's blinded his eyes so that he wouldn't be able to touch the royal line. Now, there were some successes that he had, but it didn't thwart the plan of God. God had it all squared away. He knew who was what and what was who. So, as it is, he's going to stop at nothing to destroy them. Even so, throughout the ages, the Jewish people have been under attack. Have you noticed the strings attached to this peace deal that Trump's trying to... What's the defining factor here? What's the thread that's going to tear all of this apart? Israel stopping to defend themselves against Hezbollah. Iran supplies Hezbollah with missiles and arms and all of these different things. But, you know, if Israel attacks, deals off. If Israel defends himself, deals off. And it's happened that way ever since they became a nation. So, Israel was God's chosen people to bring forth the Messiah, the Savior of mankind. And you might think, he's already come, so what do we need the Jews for? Very much so, I tell you. It's not just a one-time thing that the Messiah came, it's twofold. He came the first time, and Israel rejected their Messiah. When he comes the second time, Israel will then embrace. You know, if you're familiar with Hosea chapter 5, verse 15 through 6, verse 2. But it says here, in Hosea 5:15, he says, I will go, this is the Lord speaking, I will go and return to my place till they, the Jewish people, acknowledge their offense. So that already says, hey, the Jews are going to be around. Satan's not going to be, you know, successful in destroying the Jews, because there's a purpose still yet for Israel. Now, until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction, the great tribulation, they will seek me early. Okay? So, just a little caveat on those things. And in verse 6, verse 1, it says, now, the people are now speaking to God. They say, come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and in the third day... Sorry about that. But in the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. So it takes the Jewish people to call the Lord back, and on the third day that they call him back, the Lord shows up. So it's just a marvelous thing. I ran across this a few years back, and man, it just gets my heart pumping that, you know, the Lord is good for as his word. Now, this is the day that Israel's spiritual eyes are going to be opened. If you're familiar with Ezekiel 36 and 37, the valley of the dry bones, these bones stood on their feet and all the sinew and all the skin and everything else, but they had no breath in them. And then the Lord breathed on them and they became alive again. This is Israel once again coming to life. So this is the day that Israel's spiritual eyes are opened. In Zechariah 12:10, it says, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourned for his only son, that and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Now, a little caveat to this. They will look upon me. Okay, after the word me, there's two untranslated Hebrew letters that are in there. And it's the Aleph and the Tau. Okay, that's these things. And it's tucked right in there. And they will look upon me, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And who is that? Well, obviously that's Jesus. And we'll bring that out a little bit in here. Because the Alpha and the Tau are the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet, they are similar to the Alpha and the Omega in the Greeks. As John said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. The clouds there can be translated Shekinah. He will come with the Shekinah glory. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Who pierced him? The Jews. Okay, they had him executed. The Romans did the actual deed, but it was because of the egging on of the Jews. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, Aleph and Tav, and the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. And Jesus says of himself in Revelation 22:12-13, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. We sing that song all the time. My reward, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me. I don't know. I guess maybe we've never sang that song. Okay, well, I'll have to dig it out. Sorry. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So John calls him the Alpha and Omega and the beginning of the book of the Revelation. Jesus identifies with it in the second half of that. And so Paul goes on and says, for what if some did not believe? What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make void the faith of God without effect? Is it going to do anything because somebody doesn't believe the gospel that you give them? Is it going to hamper the faith of God in any iota? Not even. Just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's not true. Sometimes we just kind of shy away from that. Well, I don't believe that, and blah, 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 and here's why. And you just got to stop and think, hey, time out. Time out. I'm giving you the truth. I'm giving you life eternal. I'm spelling out salvation for you, that you can be saved so that you don't have to go to the place of torment, otherwise known as hell. And then after that, you're going to go into the lake which burns with fire forever and ever. Is that what you want to go to? But you see, the enemy has blinded the minds of the people of this world so badly that they don't. I don't believe in hell. I've heard people say that. I don't believe in hell. You know, and I say, well, okay, well, maybe you don't, but you will. Okay, I mean, we're just trying to save you. It's like, you know, a guy floating down the river, you know, just kind of just swimming away, and there's a waterfall, you know, probably a quarter mile up the water, and the current is getting faster and faster and faster, and you throw them a life preserver and hey, grab hold. Yeah, that's all right. I mean, I'm good. You know, I can swim and that kind of a thing. And you go down a little bit farther and you throw it out again. This is the gospel being laid out for these folks, and they, you know, I don't need it until they go over the falls, and it's too late. See, we are here to just give forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not our job to try to convince, okay? We don't go around and say, hey, you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know, let's just say this prayer with me, and, you know, if they do say the prayer, you know, another one, got a little notch on my belt here. Next, you know, and it's no good because they just did that so you'll get out of their face. But you see, when the Spirit of God is working, you can see it in their eyes. When the Lord is dealing with folks, you just go, wow, this is phenomenal. This is fantastic. You know, and so you see the Lord work, but it's not your work that's being done. You're just being a messenger. So, just because people hear the word of God and don't believe it, it doesn't nullify the word. The people at Mount Sinai heard the voice of God. They heard the thunder, felt the quaking, and they still didn't believe. They came through the Red Sea. They saw the 10 plagues of Egypt. They went through all of that, and what happened? Now we got manna raining from heaven. The Lord's feeding us out here in the wilderness, and it says, I don't believe. I mean, how much proof? And so that's why Jesus chided the Pharisees. He says, you know, it's an evil and adulterous nation that seeketh after a sign. I've given you signs. I fed you in the wilderness. I pulled the Red Sea back so you could cross on dry lands, etc., etc. And all through the time, and yet they did not believe because of the hardness of their heart. And so we need to pray for folks. We need to pray that the Lord would soften their hearts so that they would receive, so that it wouldn't be just hard ground that the seed falls upon, but that it would be good soil and that it would take root. So it's by faith. It was true then, and it's true today. People in the Old Testament looked forward to what the Messiah was going to do. People in the New Testament, we look back at what Jesus has done. Which is easier, do you think? Looking back 2,000 years ago with stories that people have told? Or is it 2,000 years before Jesus came with stories that were in the Word? Which is easier? You know, determine that for yourself. Which is going to be easier here? But it's all done by faith. It's by faith. Romans 10:17 tells us, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Study the word. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Show him, hey, I'm ready to be your servant. I'm ready to go out and preach your word. Wherever it is that you want me to go. You see, that's what it is. The Lord is looking for hearts that are pliable and ready to be used. We don't have to go to seminary to get all of this information and stuff like that. What we need is just willing hearts to step out in faith. I love that. Remember when Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He was talking about spiritual ears. Do you have the spiritual ears to receive what the Holy Spirit is telling you through your word? So no matter how many people reject the word, it doesn't diminish its power to save. Not at all. It doesn't affect it one iota. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But a better translation of that should be, if some were without faith. Okay, if some were without faith, shall their lack of faith cancel out the faithfulness of God? To which Paul answers in verse 4, God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. In other words, the believer that raises this question is a liar. And God is going to make him out to be a liar someday. Why? Because the faithfulness of God is true and cannot be changed. How important for us is that? That's paramount. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's impossible for God to lie. Whatever you see in the scriptures is what God is going to do. He said it. He says, I will not alter the thing that has passed through my lips. I will not alter it. It's the same. Okay? It's written in stone, if I can use that terminology. In 1 John 5:10, it says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. Now, whose record are we talking about here? Is it some, guy on the street there and, bells on his jeans or whatever, or the big thick beard and long hair and wide-eyed, things like that? If he's preaching the word, it doesn't matter what he looks like. What matters is the power of the word of God coming out of his mouth. I used to see that in California a lot when I was an early Christian. These hippies that were out there. I mean, it was the tail end of the hippie movement there, but, the whole thing, these guys were scruffy looking and they were, rather pungent in their, but as they were talking the Word of God, man, there was something that attracted me to them. Man, they're talking about the Word of God. You don't have to wear a suit and tie. You can just, man, whatever the words are, whatever you happen to have. And these guys were out there. They were bold in their speech. So how bad is it not to believe that God gave his Son to die for you? Well, you make God a liar. That's what you do when you reject his Son. You are, in all practicality, blaspheming the Holy Spirit by not believing his testimony through the Word. It's the Holy Spirit that's making this testimony for folks. It isn't the person speaking, it's the Holy Spirit that's taking those words with power and he's speaking directly into your heart, saying, this is true. And you say, I don't believe it. I can't believe it. Well, guess what? You're saying that the Holy Spirit is a liar. And that's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said. He says, no, every sin will be forgiven man except for one. And that is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. In other words, hey, you say that Jesus is not the Savior of the world, that's blasphemy. Because Holy Spirit is telling you something altogether different. Now, we find that Paul is quoting from Psalm 51. This is where David is confessing his sin with Bathsheba before the Lord. He's crying out for mercy. Psalm 51, 1 through 4. To the chief musician. Do I have that on there? I do. Okay. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, to be clear when thou judgest. So, as God said, the soul that sins, it shall surely die. So there was a penalty to be involved for people that sin, or they go against God, or they sin against the Word of God. as you can see here, Paul had such an extraordinary command of the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit would direct Paul in the appropriate verses needful for his writings. And it's the same with us. The Lord will speak to us. He'll give us the words to speak. We don't have to think ahead of what we're going to say. That's what the Lord says. Hey, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak at the appropriate time. Yeah. And sometimes the Lord just wants us to be silent. Let them testify against themselves. As Jesus stood silent before the Pharisees and the false witnesses that came up, he stood mute. He didn't counter them with anything because he knew that they were not true. A lot of the saints in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, Fox's Book of Martyrs, the only thing that they would ever say is that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and through his name you could be saved before they burned them up or chopped their head off or whatever it was. But they were committed to the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. I don't think we're going to make it to 18 today, so I'll tell you what, we'll pick it up again, verse 5, next week. But I wanted to just lay this out here for you. In the bulletins, there's going to be, every week, there's going to be a memory verse. I want you to memorize these verses so that when the time comes, and they're going to be random, I'm not going to say, okay, well, I'm going to do this, this, and this, you know. They're going to be random. And they're going to be useful, and you're going to find out that, hey, I used this verse in a conversation that I had with somebody. Because you're putting it away, you're storing it away in your heart, and you're storing it away in your mind. And you're saying, Lord, I want you to use me. Use me in whatever capacity you want me to. But I tell you, memorization is great. Prayer is greater. Prayer is greater. And we need to pray that the Lord would use us in these last days. These dark times that are coming upon us. I mean, you think it's bad now, it's going to get a lot worse. It's going to get a lot worse. So be prepared. You know, bolster up your faith. Bolster up your mind with the Scriptures so that you'll be able to fight against the thoughts that come into your head. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that you've given us today. And we do pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would be glorified in us. That the thoughts and the intents of our hearts would be pleasing to you. And Lord, that we would have no need or no reason to be ashamed at your coming. But we can just say, I have done that which you have bidden me to do. Father, we just lift this time up to you. We lift up our lives to you. We ask, Lord, to do with us as you will. In Jesus' name.